Let's talk about the seventh season of Veep. It doesn't seem possible to me. When did you realize, how early on, or was it even before you started, that, this was going to be something very special?
I knew it was special to me, but that was like, I was satisfied with that. I don't think I did expect for this many people to resonate with it. And for it to become, you know, just such a momentous show of this decade. Like, I don't think I did know that. I was just so happy to be making it when we first started. So, I don't know. I guess when I quote unquote realized it is maybe when we won our, like, I think when we won our first Emmy, but then definitely when we won our second Emmy, I was like, oh, people are watching.
Well, your character, Amy, has had quite a story arc. And this season, my goodness, it's been an eventful journey for her. Now, I understand that you had some input working with the writers on how this would go. And I love the fact that as someone who's been watching from episode one, a lot of dots are getting connected this season.
Yeah, right? I agree. I'm so glad that you're noticing. It feels like a true arc. Yes, it definitely feels like an arc, you know, just within the season for Amy. But yeah, like now, you know, as a nerdy actor, I'm very much, you know, the type of person who looks at a play and is like, well, why this story? Like, why this play? And for a series, since they last so long, you do sort of look forward to when they are complete to say, well, why these years in this character's life? And I feel like I'm able to do that just dramaturgically, you know, kind of examine, what happened for Amy in these years.
And Amy now back working with Jonah Ryan. Is that a step up or down from Buddy Calhoun?
I mean, I think any of us watching can agree that it's a step down, just morally. ethically, but sadly and strangely enough, because this is why we chose to do this, strangely enough for her it's like a personal step up, because in a way she's finally found like her own how do you want to say, her own Machiavellian spirit again, you know. And I think that's always been her favorite part of her. And I think that she hasn't found the freedom to really go for it, you know, as much as she knew she could. So I feel like sadly she's realizing her, like, her ugliest potential.
Tim was on with us earlier this week. Tim Simons, good Maine boy that he is, comes on with us every year. Yeah. And we were talking about the fact that in many ways, you really had to raise the stakes this year when the day-to-day world we live in, especially that in Washington, D.C., becomes real-life satire, it becomes even more challenging to do what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm realizing, you know, even watching this season, because sometimes it feels more organic when you're just doing it, but there is that, even though we're not a parody of any sort, we satirize any element of the political realm that we feel is necessary to satirize. And so, you know, really, it sort of taught me that not only can art reflect life in story, but it can also reflect it in tone, and maybe even more so, more reliably in tone. Because yeah, it's you know, you watch the beginnings of our show, the first two seasons, and it is quieter, you know. It's quieter, it's within the halls of the, you know, of DC and the executive branch, and I think that, you know, when we were filming that, there was a little bit more of a dignity and a little bit more of an eloquence to the tone of just, I don't know, the entire country at that time. We didn't realize it then, but now in retrospect, we are like, oh my gosh, that was so quiet, because now, yeah, everything is in extremes, you know, culture, media, and politics has followed suit, that that people want, you know, just the boldest brush possible in their day-to-day life. And that's what determines how they vote. And so we're reflecting that. It's really interesting.
We're talking with Anna Klumsky here on Downtown. As an actor, of course, you have to believe in your character and believe that they're doing the right thing and what they think is best. But is it safe to say that looking around the Veep landscape, that maybe Richard is the only character on there with absolutely pure intentions?
I think so. I think Catherine does, but in a very like survivalist way, just
right.
Because of the way she was raised. You know, she's sort of a child of trauma, and so you know, she's sort of arrested, and of course, Marjorie, I think, has very pure intentions. You know, it's funny. She ends up sort of just, you know, she's just like the consummate, you know, family gal. But yeah, that, you know, I think that those, yeah, are sort of more peripheral characters. Oh, and of course, Mike. Mike is purely intentioned for sure. You know, he's just, I think he just, you know, doesn't have the backbone to avoid some of the pitfalls that he finds himself in. But I think his intentions are pure. So I guess we've got several. We've got several characters whose intentions are pure, but and like you said, of course, you know, to their point of view, their intentions just by being intentions are pure. You know, Selena, you know, she absolutely believes that this is exactly right for the country. That, you know, I don't think anybody really steps back and goes, "Wow, what are we doing?" Maybe Ben and Kent, but
yeah,
you know, they've just been around the block.
Comedy, I always think, works best, I guess I would say, when you play it like drama. You have to play it straight. You can't be self-conscious. And to me, that's what has made this show such a great success, is that every character believes that what they're doing is honest and true, and it's the situations. Mm-hmm. The comedy doesn't come from bizarre characters. It comes from bizarre situations they get thrust into, but it starts with the honesty of the people you portray.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe the same thing. That's you know, I'm one of the more traditionally trained actors, and you know, in that I didn't train in comedy at all, and you know, I'm like not improv trained or anything. And so for me, I've always felt that way, that that you just, you know, you just play the truth of the moment, and you rely on the text to determine whether it's funny. You know, that's how I work. I think that other people are really deft at the actual process of finding a laugh. However, I find that if I do that, I definitely don't get it. So I rely on the text very much.
It's such an incredible cast. You've had some amazing guest stars through the years as well. But it starts with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who is a hero of mine, a comedy hero of mine. And she has changed the face of comedy in this country. And for women, certainly, but I think for everybody. And I feel like she's been around so much that people don't step back and realize what she's accomplished in her career.
Oh, it's incredible. It's staggering, really, what she's accomplished. And I think, you know, we were speaking of pure intentions. I think that Julia has always, she believes in play. She believes in that purest of motivation for making these stories. And so I don't even think that if you had spoken to her 20 years ago, that she would have been able to foresee how much she's changed the game, and how much she's contributed to our canon. Because really, she's just living story to story, and that's why it's so good. Because she's not muddying her path by anything but just staying true to the story and true to the comedy.
Well, and always being willing to be the brunt of the joke and to look bad, which is essential to comedy.
Oh, and indeed. Yeah, I think she's shameless. Which I mean in the best compliment.
It had to be hard for you. Now, you wrapped, back in December? That, I'm sure, had to be incredibly emotional. Is it the same thing now as you watch the episodes unfold and you reach the end?
The catharsis has already happened. You know, that December was definitely a really profound and gorgeous and emotional and intimate time with all of these people and these relationships. And I'm so grateful just for having gotten the chance to live that as a human being. I mean, I don't think everybody gets to. And in such a positive light, you know, we're celebrating. Really, even though we're crying and saying goodbye and, you know, having loss, it's one of celebration. I think that sort of kind of camaraderie can be brought out in more tragic times for other beings. So we're really fortunate and lucky to experience that. As the episodes come to a close, as we finished like our last post day, you know, everybody has to go in and kind of redub some of the lines, and that's sort of the last part, the last, you know, portion of doing a show. And I completed mine last week. There was that kind of last ember of poignancy. Just glowing.
Now, did you stay awake while you were doing?
We all get to be together next week.
Did you stay awake you were doing that last looping? I remember you told Stephen Colbert, and that was when your youngest daughter was a little bit younger, but you were dozing off in the middle of the ADR session.
Oh God, did I admit that? That's so funny. That was absolutely my cry for help. For like help, I'm in a postpartum depression. Not me, though. That's so funny. I think I did that day for sure. That was right around. That was happening a lot in my second postpartum period. I was just falling asleep, like in the middle of dim sum or like right after cooking, I would just kind of fall asleep. It was crazy. But that's, I mean, that's quite literally it was. That's when you have to go, oh, these are hormones, and you know, it's there's ways through this.
So as you look back on the 7 years, is there one moment that either as an actor or as Amy Bruckheimer sums up your time best, one that you're especially proud of or still laugh when you see over the 7 years of Veep?
It's sort of the obvious answer, I guess, for anybody who is a fan of the show, but I am very proud of her. What we've called her swan song, when she resigns in a huff in the fourth season. I'm very proud of that work. I mean, I'm proud of obviously any time that I was present. but what I mean by is present in the moment. Doing my job. But that was a particularly gratifying scene to do, and I really have been grateful for this last season. I think I'll forever be proud for the abortion arc. I just even societally, and for, you know, I it was just touching me the other day. Somebody told me that their mom was troubled by it, and I thought, gosh darn it, it's incredible that we have not told this story, often enough for people to. Understand it yet, you know, it's one of those things where you look left and you look right and most likely somebody's gone through it. And we're just now, I feel like we're one of maybe four shows that have actually tackled that, that experience for women. So, I'm forever proud of that.
As well, you should be. Can you let us in on who wins the election? We promise we'll keep it to ourselves.
No.
That was worth a shot.
I know. I got you. Good for you.
Anna, thank you so much for making time for us. We really appreciate it. Love your work on the show and everything else you've done through the years. And we look forward to seeing what's coming up next for you.
Oh, thanks a lot. Me too. Right.